What is a promise? We have a pretty good grasp on that. But as we come to Advent today, this first Sunday of Advent, we've got to look back to the context in which the promise was originally made, the coming of Christ. Life was pretty good. Life was perfect for Adam and Eve. Everything was as God intended it to be. Community, fellowship with God, connection with God in a way that we can't even imagine. But that wasn't good enough. And things went from good to bad, from peaceful to chaos, in a matter of a moment when Adam and Eve both rebelled against their Creator. God shows up and says, "What is it that's going on? Where are you, Adam?" And they're hiding in the bushes. And God begins to mourn, and God knows exactly what's happened. And He calls them out of the bushes. They were trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. I don't know what that's like. But He calls them to account, and what happens? They begin to blame. "It's that woman you gave me. It's the serpent. God, now that we think about it, it's you." Everyone's responsible except for me. God mourns over them as Adam and Eve wrestle with their guilt and their shame and their violent treachery against God and their offspring, which is us. Always willing to blame rather than to confess and to accept responsibility. No one should be more outraged against God or against humanity than God. No one more justified in exacting justice and revenge than God. However, in the midst of this, rather than revenge, God makes a promise. He makes a series of promises in this chapter 3 of Genesis. But there's two that I'm most interested in. One He makes with words, the other one He makes with actions. The first one is this. He tells Satan, He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head," speaking of the coming of Christ, "and you will strike his heel." You're going to do some damage, but you know what, Satan? Victory is in Christ. Victory is in Christ. And then something really odd happens. God makes another promise. And the promise is not made with words, but it's made with actions. And in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 3, it says this, "And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife," the Lord God made. They didn't make it for themselves because they didn't know what to do. All they did was grab fig leaves to cover themselves and their guilt and their shame. But God does something different. "God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins, and he clothed them." He took and he made the first sacrifice. And he takes the skins. God does this. I'm trying to visualize God doing this. He skins the animal and he cleans it and he wraps them before he sends them out into the world. They didn't understand exactly what all this pictured. But we do, don't we? Looking back, we can read in Galatians chapter 2, where he wraps us in Christ's righteousness. Not in animal skins, but in the skin of his Son, in the righteousness of his Son. Why? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't do it. Our effort to be good before God is nothing more than trying to cover ourselves with fig leaves. And that's not very effective. And it's not very pretty, is it? And as a result of him wrapping us in Christ's righteousness, he makes us holy and blameless in his sight. He looks deep into our lives And in the midst of all of the muck and the sin of our lives, he says this, he sees us holy and blameless in him because he sees Christ. And because of that, he can call us saints, not because we are saintly, right, Joel? Larry? Martin? No, we're not very saintly. But that doesn't matter because our righteousness, our fig leaves, are not what give us our righteousness. It's the wrapping of Christ. And God goes beyond that, and he says this, I'm going to adopt you as my sons and my daughters. How cool is that? God could have justified us. He could have sent Christ to die for us. We could be going to heaven and never been required to adopt us as his sons and his daughters. But that just shows how crazy he is about us. That, my friends, my family, is the promise of Christ, is the promise of Advent, the anticipation of where it says in Galatians 4, when the time was right, he sent his son to consummate this, to bring this about. So that now we can look back and we can go, yes, yes, all of this is true of me right here, right now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is what is true of you right now. You may not be very saintly, but you are a saint. You may not be very righteous, but in Christ you have all of his righteousness. You may not be a very good person, whatever that means, but you are sons and daughters of the Most High King.